Welcome to the 168th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist and endurance athlete living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. It is hot and humid in Florida, 91 degrees today. It was warm from the time the sun came up, and it's still pretty warm out. But it's a great time of year to train. Get out in a lot of sunshine. We have some afternoon showers. We haven't had much rain in the past, but in the past week or so, but still nice and warm to get out and run and bike. Got a swim and a bike in today, so that was great. I did something that I've not done before today. I actually went riding for an appointment in my office. So instead of having a member come into the practice for a regular office visit where we talk about how things are going, he came in and we got his vitals and went over his medications, and then we hit the road for a bike ride. So how many docs have you known to go do that? So we had a great 15-mile bike ride. And we created a memory because on the way back, he got a flat tire. And so we changed a tire. And actually, the whole tire exploded, not just the tube. So there was actually a hole in this tire. I don't know what exactly happened. A tip of the day, I had a goo wrapper. A goo is the energy packs that endurance athletes use when they're doing marathons or cycling. And I put that up underneath the actual tire, and then we put the tube inside and blew it up and was able to ride the 3 miles back to get back to the car. So that worked out well, and we have a memory, and we took a picture, and it's on Instagram. If you look at Jamila Delaney, you can see the picture of David's tire with a hole in it. But yeah, my training's been going good. My event will be Ironman Chattanooga, if you haven't been listening, in end of September. It'll be the third time we're doing that race, so it's kind of nice to know a course and know what we're up against. What I've done different, this what I'm starting to do differently is I'm adding more weight workouts, so I'm doing three weight workouts a week, as well as biking, running, and swimming. So I'm hoping that's going to help out. It's been a bit of a transition, a little bit sore, mainly upper body, but that's working. As far as gardening, backyard gardening goes, it's hot in Florida, and the raised beds don't like any of that too much. We still have some tomatoes blooming, have some fig trees with figs on them. Mangoes are coming into, they're starting to ripen, have a couple pomegranates on the trees, but the rest of the garden is, other than sweet potatoes, is pretty lame here for the summertime. I do have a tower garden that I really love, and we have peppers and tomatoes and Swiss chard and kale on that. I'm going to add some lettuce. I learned something about tower gardens. If you have a tower garden, is that they and you can Google it if you haven't seen one, but it's basically a big base that holds water and a tower, and there's a pump that pumps the water up, and then it comes down and bays little holes, and so you put little plants in each of the holes, and it's kind of a hydroponic system. You put some minerals in there, and the plants love it. But the roots really grow and they stop up the holes. So my tower garden wasn't working so well because it wasn't getting, some of the plants weren't getting the water that they needed. So I had to go up in there last weekend and clean all those roots out and take all the roots out of the bottom. And the roots also was getting around the pump, so it wasn't working efficiently. So I learned from a member who's a tower garden representative that you need to clean those roots out, and it really doesn't destroy the plants because they, as long as they're getting water, they're getting nutrients and are able to continue to grow. So I learned something about my tower garden, so I'm hoping to get that. The tomatoes are starting to be done that are there, so we're going to get those roots are gone, start new tomatoes. We have peppers, cucumbers, and start again lettuce, and we have the kale and Swiss chard. So that's all really good. So two tips already. I want to talk a little bit about, more. I was listening to, another podcast about different things and, talking about how we all want more. And I think part of the challenge becoming plant-based is we're afraid we're not going to get what we want, or, we're being denied. And so sometimes it comes down to defining what your more is. Do you want more food, more junk food, or do we want more health? And sometimes more is just plain, too much. We have to curb our more, and that's part of being adults that, we have to, no one to say, enough. But I think about more as being, more happiness and more health. Many of you probably have heard Chef AJ or seen her website, and, she struggled with food addiction, and she eats a very low calorie density in her diet, this plant-based, so that she can eat more food. That works for some people. Sometimes people need more nutrients. If you're trying to get rid of inflammation, then looking at the specific nutrients that you're taking in to get more of those, more antioxidants. That's where I kind of focus on fruit and vegetables and the color of my plate. So that's kind of where I look at first. I want to get those nutrients in so I can heal from my workout and my recovery and have decrease the inflammation in my body as much as possible, add as much fiber as I can to my diet. So that's kind of where I look at as my more, so that I can, again, achieve more health and decrease the inflammation. I had, I follow a lot of diabetics, and mainly our goal is to get them off their medications. And it's a process of learning and educating on eating a plant-based diet and decreasing the oil in the diet, because the oil blocks the uptake of glucose in the muscle cells. So many diabetics have been told over the years they can't eat fruit, they can't eat potatoes, they can't have whole grains. And they're not quite sure how, it all goes about. And many diabetics have experienced eating fruit and seeing their glucose go up. But what I have to remind them is to look back before, look at breakfast, look at lunch, and see if there were oil, where there was oil there, because that oil earlier in the day is going to decrease the glucose uptake later. And so if they check the glucose 3 hours after dinner, but say lunch had some fat in it, it's still going to be affecting that. The same thing happens that we have to educate diabetics. And, maybe it would be nice if we all checked glucose or we all could check in, but we have to look at our calorie intake. When you're not active, if you're sedentary and you don't, you have an inactive day, if you're driving in the car, if you're sitting at the desk and you're for some reason you're not able to get out and exercise, you need less calories total. So no matter whether it's broccoli or cabbage, or grains, you're going to need less total calories. So again, I'm going to go back to get the most important calories in first. And the important calories are those greens, the kale, Swiss chard, and cauliflower, and broccoli, and beets. So get those nitric oxide producing greens in first. They're also low in calories, so there's still room left. Then you can add, nutrient-dense food like sweet potatoes and fruit in, and then your whole grains and beans in, and then, but if you're sedentary, you're going to need less total calories. So no matter, even if you're eating, these great foods, beans, whole grains, which have been shown to decrease heart disease and decrease inflammation, there's only so many calories you need if you're not moving. On the other side of that, people say, well, I'm not losing weight because I'm not exercising enough. We don't burn a tremendous amount of calories by just walking, about 70 to 80 calories an hour. It depends on your weight and your heart rate. So you have to walk a good bit to burn those calories. And if you're thinking about burning off pounds, it takes 3,600 calories to burn off a pound. So the exercise has to be a fairly intensive, along with, to really ump the calories enough that you're, eating to your, all that you want and still have room to lose weight. So you have to take that into account as well. The exercise is, though, very, very important. There was a study that was released this week that looked at diabetics. And matter of fact, it's from the Nurses' Health Study, 11,500 diabetics. And, you know, when they ate a very high quality, predominantly plant diet, and they exercised vigorously 150 minutes a week minimum, and they drank modest to moderate alcohol, and they didn't smoke, they actually did better than their counterparts. And actually, if you didn't do those things, you had a 41% increase in mortality from cardiovascular disease. And if you did, and these effects were synergistic, so there was a decrease in cardiovascular incidence, episodes or diseases at 14%, decrease in coronary artery disease 12%, decrease in stroke of 21%, decrease in all-cause mortality of 27%. So it is important to move, and that 150 minutes was moderate, you know, to vigorous exercise, so not just to stroll. Sometimes, you know, people work very hard at their jobs, and they have a very physical job, but they're not, but their heart rate is not staying up continuously like you would if you were exercising vigorously. And for those of us who, you know, have jobs that we're sitting part of the day, it's really important that we get up and we move and we get those hours of moderate to vigorous exercise in. So, you know, we want to have you increase your breathing rate up every day. You want to have your heart rate up every day, and you want to do that for at least, the minimum of 30 minutes a day. We know from other studies that 40 minutes is better than 30 minutes, and an hour is better than 40 minutes, and an hour and a half is better than an hour. The studies beyond that haven't really been done. So, and we also know that if you exercise moderate amount for an hour, but then you sit the rest of the day, you still have an increased risk of mortality over those people that sit less. So it's important to get the exercise in as well as to move around during the day and not just be sedentary. So if you get a chance to move around, that's a great thing. Even if you just stand up at your desk and do some calisthenics, it's a good thing. In our practice, we have a squat challenge going on this month. And it's fun to see everybody posting their squats. And it's not that you can be air squats as well as chair squats. So there's no person in our practice that has the inability to do at least one or two chair squats. And people are getting stronger and feeling better by doing the exercises. So even if you just, 10 squats at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 10 squats when you're brushing your teeth or after you're brushing your teeth, you can easily get some movement in during the day that's going to help you out. You know, and when it comes back to diabetes, and especially people that are on insulin and type 1 diabetics as well, they have to adjust their insulin or their intake. And traditional medicine will have people adjust their insulin. You know, in the past, people will, eat a candy bar and take more insulin because they thought, well, as long as their glucose is coming down, then it's okay. You know, what we're trying to do here in the practice is adjust the intake down so that we can get the insulin levels as low as we possibly can for type 1s, and type 2s actually eliminate the need for insulin. And, you know, we see it all the time. It's a matter of just tailoring your intake to your body's ability to utilize the glucose. And as people's weight come down, their body fat percentage decreases, their ability to utilize the glucose becomes better, and they're able to get off their medications. I'm going to dip my toe into a little bit of controversy this week, and it's about vegans with heart disease. I am all for animal activism. I'm all for the benefits of eating a plant-based diet with regard to the environment. But I think that when people are vegan and they don't take care of themselves, they're not really doing much to spread the word. And a lot of people that eat a junk food vegan diet, with a lot of processed foods, we have all these new, and it's great that these, marketing are coming out with transition foods of, burgers and things, but they're often very salty, have a lot of oil in them, and they're not much more healthy than their animal counterparts or the dairy counterparts. And so now we have vegans with heart disease and vegans with high cholesterol and vegans with, you know, autoimmune and inflammatory conditions. And there's even a book out that, you know, something along the lines that even vegans die. So it kind of lends itself to it doesn't really matter as long as you're vegans. We're going to die anywhere. We'll probably do better than other people. There's nothing really we can do to change our fate. And I think that is, you know, that's false. And that we can be, you know, plant-based, you know, a vegan diet that results in these diseases is not healthy. And, you know, when we look to the vegan junk, if you get the idea that you can live the same way you lived before, but in a vegan way with vegan substitutes, you're not going to be any more healthy than you were before. It's not much different than the person who loses 100 pounds that had diabetes and high blood pressure, and they were able to get off their medications. And once the weight is down and they've been eating good and they're off their medications, then they go back to eating the other way. It doesn't, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's like learning that maybe there's, you know, that Santa is not who you thought she was. Or the tooth fairy is not who you thought she was. You can't go back to eating the way that you did that caused the disease. And so if the transition foods are used as a once in a while to transition into a whole food plant-based diet, I don't have as much problem as I do the excitement that people get about sharing a new plant-based alternative that's often as greasy and gooey as the animal version. It doesn't do anything to help people's health, and it provides, I think, a false sense of security that people think they're eating vegan, but they're not eating healthy. And they're still going to have the same diseases, and then they say, well, this vegan thing doesn't work because you get the same diseases as you did regardless. So, you know, don't be fooled, you know, by the products. If it's in a box, it's still in a box. And it's still going to have preservatives. And it's still going to have a lot of sodium in it. And chances are it's going to have oil in it because the oil also has a preserving type of effect. The oil also has the mouthfeel of something that's fatty. So it's, you know, it's very, and of course, then the added sugar. So you can have a lot of the same addictive qualities to these products. You know, someone asked me, well, what's so bad, you know, what's so bad about the oil, especially, you know, olive oil? I'm a great cook. I'm a gourmet cook. And I just don't know that I can cook this way and create the food that I once created without using oil. And, you know, don't the Mediterranean diet, doesn't it do good? Doesn't it, you know, isn't it better? And, you know, it's better than what you compare it to. So it's better than the standard American diet. But those people were still having cardiovascular events and still developing cancers. So it doesn't stop the progression of some of these diseases. It slows it down some, but it doesn't stop it. And in someone that's actually trying, you know, I have a patient population that tends to be very sick. So whether they have cancer or an autoimmune disease or ongoing heart disease, they're all symptomatic when they're coming here. So in order to reverse those diseases, you kind of can't do it. Well, you can't do it partway, because if you're adding olive oil in that is mainly saturated, may have some omega-6s, you're not getting the omega-3s. You know, so we need to focus on getting those nutrients in that are going to help us while still keeping our calorie content to amount that won't hurt us. So we want all the good stuff in, and we want to eliminate the bad as much as possible. So that has to be the focus, and that mouthfeel is going to change because, you know, again, that oil is going to make things taste different. It's going to cover up those other flavors. It's not a flavor enhancer. It's an oil enhancer. It's a, you know, salt is a salt enhancer. It's not a flavor enhancer. Maybe make things a little sweeter, but it's not going to make you taste the vegetables more. So, you know, at some point, if you're really interested in reversing disease and that's your goal, or keeping disease from coming on, or getting your weight under control. These things need to go away, and they really don't have a place in your diet. And, you know, the marketing would have you, you know, it really dumbs food down. You know, we look at food in a minute, want everything very fast. I had a patient that, you know, and a lot of guys, if they work a very hard physical job, grab this, grab that, eat on the run, food in a minute. Don't take time to eat it. Don't take time to stop for lunch. And we know we all have that time. Most of us have that time that we can spare. If you start to, you know, decrease your time on social media, there's ways around finding time to eat and time to prepare. So, you know, don't leave yourself without the lunch and grabbing something or eating, just grazing all day long. Pack a lunch if you're going to be out traveling and you need, or you're at work, so that you have your lunch, that you can take your break and eat your lunch and actually be mindful of it and not wolf it down, because it's nourishing your body. And to just kind of ram it in, it's not really it's not helping you. That little break for lunch can really change your whole afternoon. If you have some time to relax and eat and, kind of unwind a little bit before you face the afternoon, even if it's stopped to a park bench or a park to have your lunch. We got to find out what we're really racing for. If life is so busy that you don't have time to actually nourish your body and you're killing yourself, then what's your end game? And, you know, sometimes people say, well, I just don't want to cook. Well, at night, you know, I'm tired when I get home. Then fine, eat raw. Have a salad with, you know, open a can of beans. You can certainly make yourself a nutritious dinner in 10 or 15 minutes by eating raw, even if it's getting the packaged salads with the mixed greens. You know, now there are a variety of cabbages and kales that are in a bag. They usually come with a dressing. You throw that out. Put your own dressing on it, add some beans, and have some fruit, and you're done. You know, it can be a 10-minute prep for your dinner. But think of your health enough to get the nutrients in. You know, eating a muffin and peanut butter is not really going to do your body good and help you, especially going into the evening with some blood vessel constriction, increased acid production in your stomach, some more indigestion-type symptoms. It's not going to last that long. And then you're going to go back to the kitchen and start looking for other things. If I cycle back to the oil thing, you know, one more time, you know, this process of caramelization, heating things till it's crisp and burning, you know, needing oil to do that, it actually generates chemicals that we don't want anyway. So that whole process of that crunch, that fried, that's, you know, very acid building. Chemical side effect building into our diet, so we really don't want that anyway. So it's again one of those things that we need to, you know, kind of make our mind up. If we're trying to get healthy, that really doesn't play much of a role. You know, the other thing that's starting to be on TV is testosterone and lawsuits. And it's a little bit ironic that, you know, this is coming to be. It's not unexpected. We started estrogen replacement in females, you know, back in the 80s because of, you know, women after menopause started to have more hypertension, more heart disease, and the vascular reactivity, the ability of the blood vessel to constrict and relax was decreased. So bone mass started to go down, fat mass started to go up. And so if we just give back that hormone, we can turn back the fountain of youth and turn back the clock. And so the initial trials started to do that, and we saw an improved effect in vascular reactivity when you give women back estrogen. But it came at a price, and the price was breast cancer and uterine cancer. And even when we added a combination therapy, there's still a risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer. And then when we looked at the cardiovascular incidence, even though the vascular reactivity came back, the clotting increased and inflammation increased, so that women were actually having more heart attacks, and the trials were stopped early. Unfortunately, you know, they just changed the name of the players, so women are given estrogen therapy for hot flashes when there are some other alternatives that could actually help the hot flashes and, you know, they and decrease the duration, make them more tolerable. You know, exercise, decreasing body mass, decreasing fat mass, adding soy products. Those are things that, you know, improve estrogen symptoms, increasing exercise, increasing vigorous exercise. So those are all things that work quite well to get people through the transition period. But now, you know, we're seeing the same thing happen in men when they're presenting because they've been eating a terrible diet for the last, you know, 15 or 20 years, and now their testosterone is low, and it's usually associated with being overweight, being, you know, lack of exercise, increased stress, being diseased in general. And so instead of treating the cause by having people lose weight, eat healthy, get rest, we give them testosterone injections. And not only is the risk of prostate cancer, prostate cancer is increasing, which you know, may have a lot to do with it, but we're seeing increased cardiovascular events in men with testosterone injections. So, you know, the quick fix to the problem is, you know, not treating the symptom, but looking back and what's the etiology and treating the etiology. And the hormone replacement is merely a symptom, not or the decrease in hormones are merely a symptom of some problems that are happening, not necessarily the cause of what we perceive is, you know, the reason for the low levels. So, you know, I would encourage people that, you know, be really wary of this, because in the long run, you know, again, we're trying to turn back the clock to try to decrease the risk of cancers and to decrease the risk of vascular disease. And if you're, you know, at a time in your life when these things are starting to happen, now we're giving something that's going to accelerate that process. We really don't want to get behind the eight ball in that. I think the best ad I saw this week, or I should say the most one that made me most cynical, was an ad for Zantac, which is a acid blocking drug, you know, for stomachs and indigestion. And you know, it said, "Eat the way you want and take Zantac, and everything will be okay." Just like, you know, a few years ago, there was the cable guy was riding a jet ski and eating hot dogs and eating terrible, and he was terribly overweight. Eat, you know, eat what you want and take, you know, a proton pump inhibitor, basically. And that's what we're fed every day by the media, is do what you want, do as much bad things, you know, have as many bad things as you want, but we have a pill to fix this, so not to worry. And, you know, these pills come with their own set of side effects. But by masking the symptoms, you know, when you stub your toe because you know, or you burn your foot because you walk on a hot rock or something, then you know it hurts and you don't do that anymore. But if you mask these symptoms of eating bad by taking, you know, H2 blockers or proton pump blockers to decrease the acid in your stomach, you're masking your body's symptoms. You know, your body's crying out saying, "Don't eat this stuff. It's bad for me." By covering it up, you're not heeding your body's warning that something bad is going to happen if I continue to eat this way. So, you know, don't be fooled by the pills, again, that are treating the symptoms but not treating the cause of the problems. If you don't eat oil, you won't get indigestion. A lot of people come in and say, "Oh, I can't eat peppers. I can't eat this because it causes, you know, me trouble." And I'll just encourage them, you know, give up oil for a couple of weeks and you'll be able to eat the hottest pepper that you would like. It's not gonna cause you a problem. It's really the oil that's causing your stomach to produce so much acid that they're getting into trouble. I'm gonna close on positive things that have happened this week in the practice. You know, I think for starters, the ride with David today was a really positive thing. We went out for a bike ride, and we put movement before food. You know, we talked during the ride that it's a shame that when people get to be 45, 50, kids start to go to college, the only thing that people do is get together and eat. And wouldn't it be nice if people got together and moved and then maybe ate something healthy afterwards, but the emphasis was on moving and doing something. So I thought the ride today was really positive. Instead of sitting in the office and talking about what was right or what was wrong or what might be done to improve things, we went out actually and improved them by actually moving and taking a bike ride. And both of us were invigorated to come back for the rest of the afternoon. I came back and did nutrition class. And nutrition class today, we finished, and we actually had a banana pudding that I made with tofu and bananas and some unsweetened coconut. So, you know, that was positive. People found that they could have a dessert that was actually healthy. We had a person join the practice this week. Actually, it was a week ago, and they really went all in and could not believe they came into class. And it's like, could it happen so fast? Could I feel so much better? Could I have so much more energy? Could my joints be doing so much better so quickly? And it's nice to see that happen. I had another person that has an autoimmune disease for years, been on steroids. Joints are feeling great once, you know, we're backing down on her prednisone. Her husband, you know, and they would have been two of the people that it took them a while to kind of get on the plant-based wagon. Wasn't sure they wanted to make the leap. Kind of complicated to learn the different cooking techniques, you know, at pretty close to 80. And they did. And it was a little challenge at first, but they're both feeling so much better. His constipation is gone. His energy's gone. Lost a little bit of weight. Joint aches are gone. Another person, same thing, you know, trouble with arthritis, just, you know, kind of resolved that I'm one of these people that are just going to have joint problems and arthritis problems. And she has given up dairy, completely, as well as meat. She's working on the olive oils, but joints improved miraculously. You know, she is having no joint pain, back at the gym, working with a trainer. So those are all really positive things that happen in such a short period of time, and it's nice to see people so happy. Another patient today in class, she shared that when people ask her, why are you doing this? Why are you plant-based? You know, why are you, you know, changing at this stage in the game? And she said, frankly, I just don't want to get more diseases, and I don't want to die of cardiovascular disease, and I'm feeling so much better. And they quit asking her, you know. They let it go at that point. It's hard to come back at someone that says, you know, I'm feeling great, and I don't want to die because of these lifestyle diseases that I could avoid. We have another member that she's pretty much doing it on her own, but her kids are starting to like eating plant-based. She's not forcing it on them, but they're just starting to eat things that she eats, and they're noticing that they feel better. And so that's a positive thing. I think with kids, sometimes just, you know, not saying you can have it, but this is, you know, this is what I'm doing. They'll follow. Children follow their parents' examples, whether they're good examples or bad examples. So you might as well go with a good example and let it rub off on them, because it certainly will. And I guess lastly, I'll say if you're not someone that likes to exercise or move, consider doing something in a group. Whether it's join an exercise class, try a dance class, try an exercise class, try a spinning class, try a variety of them, because sometimes it comes down to the people that you enjoy being around, the people. My mother sets a wonderful example for this. She has a group that she, you know, at 84, she has a group that she golfs with. So she golfs a couple times, and even though their golf course closed for the summer for repairs, they're meeting at different golf courses. So because of the camaraderie, they're staying together and going to different golf courses. She also does a Zumba class, and she's met friends, and so she enjoys going there to see her friends and doing the Zumba class. Same way with yoga. You know, she enjoys that. So at any age, you can join these classes and you develop a group of friends. You know, it's like, I remember when my daughter was young, I took her to various camps in the summertime, you know, day camps, to places where she didn't know anyone. Because it only takes, you know, the first day or the first 2 days could be a little bit stressful because you don't know or you're in a different environment. But you should say, you know, say hi. You know, hi, my name is Addie. And, you know, and start the conversation. And she's, you know, developed into a person that can meet anyone and can make friends anywhere she goes and is not uncomfortable in going into a situation like that. And sometimes when we get older, we kind of shy back and go back into our shell. And don't want to go places by ourselves or start something different. But you don't know when you're going to have the ability to help someone by being an example when you're in that group, or learning from someone else and then sharing it down the road. So I'd encourage you to, you know, try different things and try a group. I love our master swim class. We go, we feed off of each other. It's nice to see people. You feel great. You don't want to get up necessarily in the morning to go over there, but it's nice when you get there, and it's nice to have the group experience. So join a group, get out and move, get rid of the oil, keep it simple. If you don't want to cook, eat raw, and I'll see you next week.